Well, hey, everybody. I want to start by welcoming you in this morning, or this afternoon, or tonight, or whatever time you may be watching this. If you're seeing this video, here's what that means. It means that Hurricane Ian had a greater impact on our community than we expected and forced us into our last plan, and that is to simply gather together in a way that is digital. Now, the one thing that I can say that I appreciate from COVID is that it taught all of us how to pivot pretty quickly and make adjustments pretty fast. And so for us, we were just trying to make every effort to serve our family as good as possible and to serve you well. And so we decided, hey, in a worst case scenario, let's have church online. And so that's what we're doing here today. And so today we're going to start a brand new message series. And I want to talk to you just very quickly about kind of where it came from, the heartbeat of it, and how it arrived in my mind. As a pastor, I think you could probably imagine that I am constantly in the midst of managing tensions. Let me give you some examples. There are tensions between people who like it cold in the room and tensions between people who like it warm in the room, and which one is right. And I'm kind of in the middle of trying to make sure that everybody's served well. There are people who vote a certain way and people that vote a different way. And I find myself in the middle just trying to serve everybody well. There are certain people that have beliefs one way about certain things and others that have beliefs about other things in other ways. And as a pastor, I kind of find myself sometimes in the middle trying to serve everybody well. And even though there are times where I have opinions, I like it colder than I like it hotter, that isn't my responsibility. My responsibility is to be a leader, to be a pastor, and to serve people well. And so I actually think part of the calling of particularly a pastor, a church ministry leader, maybe a parent, this I'm sure would spread into other venues, organizations, other ways of life, is that really there are often times that we find ourselves in the middle. And I actually think that God has designed us in a lot of ways to be there a lot of the time. And being in the middle of just, hey, my responsibility is not always to have strong opinions or to have it my way, but my responsibility is to serve all people well. And so it wasn't that long ago that I was in a bit of a conversation, a little bit of maybe a debate, if you will, with some people about this idea of grace and truth. And I see this all the time in the atmosphere and the realm of Christianity. I see some people who tend to lean really gracefully. They're very compassionate. They're very understanding. They're very grace-centric. And then there are other people that are more black and white. They're more straight-lined. There are some people that tend to be a little bit more truth-focused. There is, if you can imagine this, pressure toward me sometimes that, man, we should preach more on issues, or, man, we should serve these people in a better way, or whatever the case may be. And again, what's my responsibility? To serve everybody well. And so I begin to pray about this, and I begin to think about this, like, God, how would you have me communicate this in a healthy way to our church? And I felt like God put this idea in my heart to start a message series and call it Double Barrel. And so that's what we're going to begin today, is this series, Double Barrel. And we're going to answer the question, should the church be more focused on grace or more focused on truth? So some of you maybe have experienced a church or been aware of, maybe even been a part of, or maybe just know of a church that is very, very grace heavy. And here's what I mean by that. I mean so grace heavy that they really never offer truth. In fact, they're not even preaching the truth of the Bible. They're preaching ideas that make people feel really good. In fact, the Bible said that there would come a day where this is what people would want. They don't want to hear truth. They want to hear things that satisfy them, things that make them feel good. And there is no question that there are churches that are doing that. Conversely, though, there are churches that are so rigid, so harsh, so focused on like right and wrong and you better and you oughta. They're so truth focused that, quite frankly, it does not feel very life-giving. In fact, it feels more judgmental. And when you get on that side, I personally don't think that's very healthy either. And so I want to help us, Church on the Rock, you as an individual follower of Christ and as a part of this church family. Well, where do we stand? What is our heart toward this? How does this church approach this conversation of grace and truth. And here's where I want to take you. I want to take you to one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, John chapter 1. And we're going to pull a verse that we're going to read every single week of this series. It's John chapter 1, verse 14. And this is what the Bible says. It says, the Word, and in this, you'll notice that the word is capitalized, W, because it's referring to Jesus Christ. And it says that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son. And I want you to pay attention here. Who came from the Father full of grace and truth. I love this scripture. I absolutely love it. Because if we as a church are supposed to represent Jesus, here's what this means. That we shouldn't be heavy on grace and we shouldn't be heavy on truth. We should be full of both grace and truth. Let me say it this way. We should be double-barreled. It should be both always. I want to make a couple of statements here. I heard this from one of my heroes in the faith years ago, and it's always stuck with me. And here's what he says. He says, truth without grace is mean. If you're just always about the truth and this is right and this is wrong, if someone makes a mistake, you let them know that was terrible, that's sinful, that you shouldn't have done that. If you're always bringing truth and never offering any grace, that's just mean. But then he also says this, that grace without truth is meaningless. We have to have truth. I can't just always have grace and never know that, man, there truth is involved. Truth is a part of this, because I want to say this gently, but I want to say this very, very boldly, because there is a societal push that people are starting to use phrases like your truth. Well, just discover your truth. And I just want to respectfully say, Church on the Rock, I want to say this about that societal agenda and that push. I want to say this gently, but honestly and lovingly toward you. That doesn't work. There is no such thing. There is truth, and it is truth. I'm going to say this, and you're going to hear more about this as we continue in the series, that truth is a person. Truth has a name. And His name is Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. But we can't just have truth all the time without any grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And so I want to help us as a church to figure out, well, great, how are we? Jesus was double-barreled. How are we to be double-barreled as well? So I want to take you into some scripture, because I want to show you, I always think that we should learn from what the Bible says. Like, our opinions, quite frankly, they shouldn't matter. I mean, we have them, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're helpful. But quite frankly, as followers of Christ, there has to be an absolute truth, and it has to be the Bible. It has to be the words of God. It has to be what Jesus says. And I know that's hard for some people to hear and understand, but there must be true north. And at Church on the Rock, we believe that to be the Holy Bible given to us by our Father. So I want to take you to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read five verses, and he starts out by saying this, do not judge. Don't judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, some people would say a suggestion is like, man, if you judge people, when you get before the Lord one day, He's also going to judge you. And if you judge them harshly, He's going to judge you harshly. I'm not saying that's not what it means, but I almost wonder if maybe it just means it with people relationally. I want you to think of somebody that you may know who is just gracious all the time. I can think of dozens of examples of people that I have a relationship with that are just very, very gracious people. If you make a mistake, they're like, oh, it's okay. Accidents happen. You know, no problem. It's no big deal. If you break something or spill something or you do something, oh, no, don't worry about that. It's okay. Mistakes happen. Here's what I know, that when those people make mistakes, it's easier for me to be gracious toward them. Like, oh my gosh, you're always showing me grace. So I want to show you grace. It's reciprocal, meaning that because they haven't shown lots of judgment, it would be hard for me to show them lots of judgment. I hope that's making sense. So if somebody's like awfully judgmental all the time, constantly calling you out, always on you about what you get wrong or what you do wrong. The minute you see them misstep, kind of naturally, you want to be like, aha, right? Like you want to get them. Like, and so I think that if I'm judgmental, people are going to be more likely to be judgmental toward me. If I'm gracious, perhaps people would be a little more likely to be gracious toward me. That's just my thoughts. But verse 3, I'm going to continue. Watch what Jesus says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And so just from the Bible, I could make a case. We should be gracious. We should be very graceful. Hey, who am I to even call you out on anything, because I have issues of my own. And so maybe I won't say a word about anybody's issues because, well, I have issues too. So according to the Bible, I shouldn't judge. I should be very gracious. But I want to take you somewhere else in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to followers of Christ like you and I. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore. I want you to notice what the Bible says, that you should restore that person. I love that that sentence ends with the word gently, gently. But I also want you to notice that the Bible is saying, hey, if someone's caught in some sin, those of us that follow Jesus, there's something we should be doing about that. We should restore that person. But watch yourselves, because you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, the Bible says, and in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Now, someone may take this scripture and make a case, we should restore people. Man, we should be looking for people, and we should call them out in their sin, and we should be making sure that they're on the straight and the narrow. And you could, if you wanted to, you could create an argument between these scriptures. You could get a truth-centric person to stand on this one, and you could get a grace-centric person to stand over here on this one. And so the question is, well, what should we do? How should we handle this? Like, which one is it? Is it that we shouldn't judge? Or is it that we should restore people when they're sinful? And here's the answer. You ready, everybody? It's both, always. Always. And I just want to give us three thoughts. Three thoughts on how we can be both full of grace and truth. How can we be double-barreled believers, followers of Jesus, that aren't heavy on grace and we're not heavy on truth? We're just full of both of those things. We are double-barreled believers, full of grace and full of truth. I want to give you three thoughts very practically that I think would help us. Let me say it this way. It'll help those of us who are maybe more truth-centered, and it's going to help us that lean more toward a grace focus. I want us to get a balance as a church family, as followers of Christ, so that we're full of both always. And the first thing is this, that I think that one of the ways that we can do this is, number one, to acquire a healthy view of sin. A healthy view of sin. The reality is that all sin is equal. All of it. This is a hard thing for our minds to comprehend, because different sins have different consequences. Let me explain. If someone is caught stealing a pack of gum from a convenience store, okay, that has a particular consequence. If someone is caught stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from a vault in a bank, very different consequences. And so what we tend to do as people is we tend to think, well, this one's not that bad. This one's worse. But the reality is, at the foot of the cross, all sin is equal. In the eyes of our God, all sin is exactly the same. It may have different consequences. Yes, that is true. But it all has the same penalty, and that penalty is death. The Bible says this, that in Romans 3:10, that the Bible tells us that no one is righteous, not even one. None of us. Like, we got issues.
We got problems going on. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws." So I think it's imperative that as followers of Jesus, that we understand that we acquire a healthy view of sin. That in the eyes of our God, sin is sin. It is equal, even if one has a lesser consequence and another has a greater consequence. The reality is that all sin is equal. If the more that I can understand that as a follower of Jesus, the more that I can change my perspective on who's better and who's worse. Because quite frankly, that's not a reality. There isn't better or worse. There's just sinful. And that's what we unfortunately are living in, is a world of sin. So number one, I'm encouraging us, if I'm going to be a double-barreled Christian, if I'm going to both always be full of grace and full of truth, then I need to acquire a healthy view of sin. Number two, I need to focus on honest self-reflection. Let's be honest about ourselves. Because it's really, really hard to throw stones at people when we recognize that stones probably should be thrown at us. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. I think the more that we can be honest about ourselves, then the more that we can lean more toward this idea of like, man, I need to be full of grace and full of truth. I need to be the kind of follower of Christ that is both always. Because it's hard for me to come at somebody in a judgmental way and, man, I can't believe you did that, or get harsh on them when I'm like, yeah, but I got issues too. And if I have a healthy view of sin, then I can't consider their sin worse than mine, and I can't consider myself better than them, because I've got a healthy view of what sin is and I have an honest self-reflection that I have it too. And so if I can take these two thoughts and manage them well, then it can help me to be the kind of person that says, hey man, look, I get it. You made some mistakes and maybe they were pretty big. In other words, maybe they have a lot of consequences and maybe that was a bad idea. But bro, I love you. Hey man, I'm still walking with you. I'm still going to try to help you become all that God has called you to be. Why? Because I have a healthy view of sin. And because the truth is, I just understand when I self-reflect, I've got issues too. So let's identify with you what's going on. And then let's just help you walk toward God's heart. Like, where do we go from here? Toward the heart of God. The Bible also tells us in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we claim that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves. That's a problem. The Bible says that we are not living in notice the last word of the sentence, truth. If we say, oh, I don't have issues, I've gotten all past that. I'm gonna tell you, that mindset that I don't have issues, I don't have sin, I'm holy now, I've gotten to a place with the Lord, I've sort of got myself together. That's just called pride. We don't have honest self-reflection. We're not really taking an honest look at ourselves to recognize that, hey, I don't have it all together either. And if I get into that mindset that I don't have sin, that I'm also not broken, then I will never have grace for people. I always want to come and drop the heavy hand of truth. And what happens is I'm not double barreled. I'm not full of both grace and truth. So I want to encourage us, number one, let's acquire a healthy view of sin. And number two, let's focus on honest self-reflection. And then number three, let's restore through trusted personal relationships. This is the one that I particularly appreciate right here. If you've ever been, let's see, maybe you've been downtown in a city somewhere, or maybe you've been at a sporting event or something like that, and you've got the person on the megaphone and they're just screaming through that megaphone that everybody's a sinner and you have to repent, and if you don't ask God for His forgiveness, then you're going to hell and all these things. And here's the thing. That all may be truthful. It may be very truthful. But in my opinion, it's completely ineffective. Why? Because I don't trust you. I don't know you. Who are you to tell me
that I've got it all, that I don't have it all together, that I need to get myself, like, who are you? I have no relationship with you that in my mind gives you the right to say that to me. But conversely, maybe you've had a parent, a coach, a good friend who, when you were off course, when you made a mistake, when you did something wrong, and they came and approached you and said, "Hey man, that was not okay. You should not have spoken to those people that way. You should not have responded in that manner. Hey, that email had some tone. That was rough." Whatever your case, I want you to apply your own scenario. When it's somebody that you love, when it's somebody that you really trust, and they come to you with some truth, it's a little bit different, isn't it? It might not be great to feel. It might not be like, "Oh, thank God." But at the same time, hey, I know that you have my best interest at heart, and you're only saying this because you care about me. I think that the restoration, the truth, when it comes, truth can be heavy, but truth is good because truth sets us free. But the fact of the matter is that truth should come when we have established a trusted relationship with somebody. In fact, in our teams and our staff, our serve teams, our life groups, we will ask that question sometimes. If there is somebody that we know is in a particular struggle, going through something, maybe we want to check on someone in a way that, like, we have a reason to believe that maybe they're doing something that isn't in line with God's word, or we heard about something, I don't know, whatever. We will actually ask the question, well, who has the best relationship with this person? Who's in a group with this person? Who serves with this person? Who knows this person best? Because if we're going to have bold communication, if we're going to have a tough conversation with somebody, we want to make sure that we do it with relationship. We don't want to just come slamming truth down on people from, it's like, "Well, who are you? Like, why are you coming at me?" We want to do it in a way that's like, "Hey man, you know I love you, bro." Right? And I keep using guy, and this happens lady to lady or whatever. I keep using guys because I'm a guy. But hey, like, "Hey, can we just have a conversation? You know I care about you. You know I love you. Hey, I want to ask you about something. I've got a concern. Hey, I wasn't sure about how you responded there." Whatever the case may be, it's easier to restore with truth when we have relationship. We want to restore through trusted, personal relationship. The Bible says this as we close. Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for the time of adversity. When, man, like, when it's tough, when things are unraveling, when something goes wrong, the people that you want there are your friends, your brothers, your sisters, the ones that are relationally connected to you. That, "Hey, I know you love me. I know you're only saying this because you care. I know you're only checking because you're concerned about my well-being or the well-being of those around me." Because our sin is never isolated. Our sin always has an effect on the people around us. And so, hey, because I know you love me, I can handle this tough conversation. I can receive from you. Why? Because it's a trusted personal relationship. Final verse as we close. The Bible also says that wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. Sometimes these personal relationships, these trusted personal relationships, bring us to a place where it's like, "Hey man, I'm coming to you double-barreled. You know I love you. I got all the grace in the world for you. I know this is a struggle for you. I know it's not easy for you. I know this is kind of a repetitive issue in your life. I know that this continues to surface. And you know, I'm with you. I've been with you this whole time. But man, I want to check on you. How you doing with that? How's it going? Okay, all right, well, let's pray about this together. How can I help you? How can I help you be more accountable?" And here's the thing. That should probably go both ways. Maybe you want to be vulnerable toward that person and say, "Hey, I want to help hold you accountable for your battle, but I also want to let you in and maybe ask you in reciprocation, would you hold me accountable in my struggle too?" Why? Because we're just double-barreled believers. I just want to be coming toward you full of grace and full of truth. Well, why? Because that's exactly how Jesus treats me. That's exactly how Jesus treats everybody. So listen to me, Church on the Rock. We're not supposed to be heavy on grace. We're not supposed to be heavy on truth. We're supposed to be double-barreled believers. We're supposed to come full of grace, and we're supposed to come full of truth. It is both always. We will be the kind of people that acquire a healthy view of sin,
that focus on honest self-reflection and restore through trusted personal relationships. I want to pray with you. I actually believe that you could have been listening to this message that was almost exclusively communicating to those of us that follow Jesus. But what I recognize is maybe everyone listening to this message does not follow Jesus. And what I want to do is I want to invite you into that relationship. Maybe you never knew that Christ comes full of grace and truth, that He is both always. It's a double-barreled reality. And maybe you've never heard a presentation of the gospel this way. They're like, man, I didn't know it could be both. I kind of thought I had to make a decision. I didn't know it could just be both always. Maybe after listening to my words, the Spirit of God is drawing you in to a relationship with Him. And what I would love to do is invite you to take that next step. And at our church, we do it very simply. It's just a very simple prayer that I always invite our church to say. And I would love to invite you to repeat this prayer after me as you begin to make your decision to step into a personal relationship with Jesus. Here's our prayer. I want you to repeat after me. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer today, the first thing I want to do is congratulate you. Way to go. It's amazing. Super proud of you. The second thing I want to do is invite you to let us know that. You can go to our website, cotr.live, and you can let us know the decision that you made by clicking the Contact Us tab. Or to make it simpler, you can simply text the word reborn to the number 97,000. We would love to go on a journey of faith with you. What we know is we can't do it alone. I need help, and so do you. So we would love to invite you into this church family and invite you into the process of discipleship with us. I would love to know the decision that you've made. Church on the Rock, I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in today. Can't wait to see you next Sunday.